Yeah, Freedom Fiends. Yeah.
I'm sorry. What was that? Yes, it was the Freedom Fiends. I'm Nima Vedati here in Round Rock, Texas. I'll be more accurate today. Should
really?
Be in Austin, but I'm about a mile north of Austin. So, Michael, though,
yeah.
Where are you at?
This is Mr. Michael Dean broadcasting live and worldwide from, you know what kind of bunker it is. Somewhere in the Mountain West.
Yes.
And I can't say where because, you know, clowns will eat me.
The clowns can't sleep. Clowns will eat me.
We were talking about ICP before the show. I once said, don't tell them.
I once said to
Nima Vedati that I love moving here from Los Angeles to Casper, Wyoming. Because I said, man, I love it here. There's no gangs here. And he said, I don't know, man. There's juggalos. I was like, I've never seen one. And we're not going to diss the clowns. I do want to say, though, that the first time I ever heard of ICP was this girl I knew back in the day, and her hobby was writing to serial killers in prison and then selling their letters on eBay. Which
And she worked for ICP?
No, she was really into them. I was like, I don't know what that is when she said it. So
yeah.
And from what I know about them, I doubt that they would take it as an insult to say that I heard about them from a girl who liked to write serial killers and sell their letters on eBay.
Yeah. Well, you were explaining to me that they're self-conscious and over the top on purpose. Like they're almost a parody of themselves.
Yeah.
Because I was kind of making fun of one of their videos. And I'm like, are they serious? What is this? And you were like, no, dude, it's like Death Clock. You know, it's a parody of the genre.
It was kind of funny because maybe the juggalos take them real seriously. I don't know, man. I don't know.
That was why I was confused, because I feel like the juggalos take them real seriously, but I've never sat down and spent a lot of time with a juggalo, so maybe they get something there that I don't get. But you know, there was a fake news thing. It was like 30 minutes long. It was the new thing about the gathering of the juggalos, because Saturday Night Live spoofed it, and it's just hilarious, and everybody should go watch it. But we watched the original, which was totally spot on, the SNL parody of it. And but the new one, the new thing that's promoing the gathering of the juggalos is like a fake news format.
Yeah.
I don't know if they saw the Ron Paul channel and were like, huh, let's do it like that.
Oh,
or what?
Way to get into our beef with Ron Paul. We have a rap beef with Ron Paul we're going to get to later. But
yes.
Yeah, man, juggalos. I can't make fun of – I really can't make fun of anybody who's doing art, quote unquote, that people like, you know, as long as it doesn't violate the non-aggression principle. And I would say,
but that's all they rap about, isn't it?
But they're joking, man. They're joking. I mean, it's like zombie. They're like a zombie movie come to life. You know, I mean, that doesn't hurt anybody.
Yeah,
I mean,
it is art.
The FBI thinks they do. The FBI said that juggalos are a gang. I looked on the FBI website. They list them as a gang, which is remarkable.
Right, and that's an endorsement. When the FBI or the SPLC has you on their hit list, then that's an endorsement.
Well, yeah. I mean, remember NWA when they came out with the song Cop Killer? No, that was Ice-T. When they came out with what was their song that irked cops? We probably can't even say the title of it on the air. I don't know.
Yeah, there's an F in it, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
It's F the Police.
Yeah. When that song came out, the FBI wrote a letter to the record label and said, you know, you got to stop this. This is endangering cops. And and the group, like, put it on their press kit, man. I mean, that's, you know.
Yeah.
I learned that from, I don't like Abby Hoffman, you know. He was a commie and he was violent and he was, you know. But he didn't like the status quo, and I don't like the status quo either. But in his book, which it's Steal This Book, which is a great title, which came out in the late 60s, early 70s, on the back cover of that, all of the blurbs were people who hated it. And I've never seen that before, and I've used that a lot since then. Like, we, you know, when somebody disses the Fiends, we consider it a compliment and put it out. And I remember one of the blurbs on there was like the publisher, the head editor at some major publishing company, I forget which one, and his blurb, you know, they'd sent him the manuscript and he sent it back and said, this book will end free speech as we know it. And I like that.
Yeah, well, Sipsy Street Irregulars blog, at the top it says, as denounced by Bill Clinton on CNN.
Yeah, you're nobody till somebody hates you. Or there's actually a saying in Hollywood, you're nobody in Hollywood till someone wants you dead.
Ah, yeah. And, yeah. Well, there was a song in New York from Biggie Smalls, you're nobody till somebody kills you. I don't know if I buy that one, but that's kind of deep.
Yeah. Yeah. So do we want to get into the Ron Paul pod beef that we're having here? I think we could.
Yeah, I mean, what else? We were going to keep talking about Juggalos, but I think you wanted to limit that so we don't get targeted by some clowns.
No, man, I'm not afraid of no clowns. I embrace the clowns. I embrace the clownness. And here's what I'll say. You know, I don't think anyone is really a nihilist. You know, people like that get called nihilists. People who do death metal get called nihilists. I don't think anyone who really creates something is a nihilist, because I think if you...
They believe what about their creation,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, because...
They have some kind of faith or hope if they're making art and doing all the work and putting their blood, sweat, and tears into something.
And you, if you're making something and putting it out in the world and inviting people to listen to it, you know, even if it's on ninth generation cassettes from something recorded in a cave in Belarus, you know, from some death metal band... which in death metal, like, the cooler you are, the more underground you are. There was there's actually a death clock episode, a metal apocalypse episode where they go to Norway, or they go to Norway to see Toki's father who's dying, and they go into the world's first black metal shop, you know, record store, and it's like they're playing this horrible atonal music in there, and the guy, you know, they say, like, do you have any death clock records? And he says, I don't like death clock, they are too commercial.
Yeah,
but, you know, even if it's something that's a ninth generation cassette passed around from some cave in Belarus, they're still trying to get people to listen to it and like it, even if they're like, oh, we only want the right people to like it, the very in cool people. You know, if you care, if you make something and care that people hear it, you're not really a nihilist.
That's true.
That's what I'm saying.
And, you know, it's really interesting how big of a subculture it is. I guess I just hoped, and I understand the frustration. I mean, I can understand wanting to be underground and rejecting mainstream everything. Mainstream culture, mainstream media, mainstream philosophy and thought, which is in essence state aggrandizement and loving the powerful and kicking the weak. So I can totally understand how people would view themselves as rejecting that. I just think that, you know, embrace it, harness that. And I feel like that's where our movement sort of comes in, the Liberty movement, the Liberty mission, is we embrace that rejection, but actually redirect it somewhere we feel is productive. And I don't know. I guess they don't feel that's as productive, or they haven't come across something like that concept. I'm not really sure. But, well, maybe there's a big section of Juggalos that could be taught the non-aggression principle.
Well, here's what I'm thinking. It's kind of ironic that I'm, like, way older than you, and I was kind of sticking up for the clowns. You know, you sent me this video, and you're like, this is ridiculous. It was the song Miracles, and you were like, they're not good rappers, and he's talking about, like, I don't know how magnets work. It's a miracle. I hate scientists because they keep trying to explain it to me. And I was like, that's a joke, man. Don't you get it? Here's what I'm thinking. I think you have become old because you're going, I don't understand the youth music today. I'm glad you said maybe, because I thought you were going to fight me on that, and I was going to zoom you, and I was going to say, no, man, you have hit the age where you were like, I don't get what these youngsters are doing.
Here's more evidence that Nima's old. Went to the grocery store yesterday, HEB, and was shopping, and I had to go get a cart because we had originally got just a hand cart. And so my wife sent me to go get a real push cart, and on my way back, I picked up two things. $2.50 for elastic waistband shorts and a bag of Epsom salt. We came
Grandpa.
Home, my wife hands me the stuff that I had bought, and I'm like, I look at the Epsom salt and the elastic waistband shorts, and I go, man, I am old now. What's going on here?
Yeah.
What?
You're old, man. What? Yeah. I can't hear you. My tinnitus is acting up. Yeah. So speaking of old, let's talk about Ron Paul and his new channel.
Speaking of old, good segue.
You know, you're only as old as you feel. And here's what Ron Paul's doing. Ron Paul has a new video channel. It's called the Ron Paul Channel. It costs money to look at it. Now, somebody said something about Tom Woods did this video about libertarian moochers. And it's a really strange video because he's using a clip-on mic in it, but his RE20 mic in the RE20... You know,
is in the foreground, pointed the wrong way.
X-ray gun mount that they come in is put, and like, it's, you can look at the back of it, and it's like, either he didn't think to take it out of frame, or he thought, oh, I'll put this in here because it's a cool mic, but it's backwards and it looks like some kind of weird movie prop in the picture. But his video is basically complaining about what he calls libertarian moochers, which are people who complain about not wanting to pay money for him and Ron Paul's Dropping Mad Science, you know, video or whatever, or wants to share it free. We're not complaining about that. And if people want to sell stuff, that's fine. What I'm complaining about is if you really want to change the world, give everything away and worry about the money later. I mean, we're syndicated nationally, and I spend way more time trying to add affiliates than I do trying to get advertisers. Here's what I think Liberty needs, or any mission that someone feels strongly about. I think it needs more full-time amateurs. You know, most of my life I've done media where I've had a full-time day job, and then I come over and work, come home and work late into the night on my band or my movie or my book or my podcast or my radio show. To where, you know, I mean, why sleep 8 hours a night? You don't need that. Sleep 7 hours. Sleep 6 hours. Why have a social life? Devote your, you know, keep yourself pure. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with making money, but if you're trying to make money, if you're trying to do something only as your day job, you know, you're going to make decisions you wouldn't make otherwise. So if you want to keep something pure and get it out to as many people as possible, Zoom, and you want it to go on forever, you know, maintain your amateur status so you can compete in the Libertarian Olympics. Go.
I don't know if I would take it in that direction, but I definitely see where you're coming from. I read Daniel McAdams talking about, wow, what a great thing this is, without the full disclosure that he was obviously Ron Paul's, I don't know if he was just chief of staff, but he was on his congressional staff for years.
So is Tom Woods. Tom Woods is partnered with Ron Paul.
Right.
They
right.
do that on the homeschool thing. It's right, basically right. Tom Woods' homeschool thing, but it's being sold as Ron Paul's homeschool thing.
But Dan McAdams, he's the one who linked to the Tom Woods video, and he says, what do you people think, that TV studios grow on trees and producers and cameras are just free and you can go in and make a show for free?
They're practically free. We're doing it on very little money and we sound great.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, we did spend money and we got donations for it, and that's fine. But here's the thing is, how do the most professional people in the business do it? They sell advertising, right? No, none of that stuff's free. But CNN doesn't have a paywall. Fox doesn't have a paywall. MSNBC doesn't have a paywall. So there are other ways of generating revenue. We'll talk more about this when we try to generate some here with the market.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, not your dad's talk radio.
5 centuries after the first spaceflight, the stars remain beyond humanity's reach. So a mad scientist enlists the aid of a young technician, Nicole Orem, as they travel through the solar system, encountering the hazards of space and human treachery. Quantum Vibe, Volume 1, Nicole, collects the first 400 strips of the epic sci-fi webcomic series. Available now from the major online bookstores or direct from BigHeadPress.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing. Buttons! Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and 2 designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Yep, it's Freedom Fiends Live. Thank you for joining on us on this Sunday edition, August 18th, 2013. I'm Nima Vidotti. We've also got Michael W. Dean.
That's me.
What it do, Mr. Dean?
That is me.
Yes. If you had a Juggalo name, what would it be?
Oh, DJ Silencer.
DJ Silencer. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. MC Buckshot.
MC Buckshot. I thought you were MC
Ramen Noodles.
Ramen Noodles. Yeah.
Maybe. MC Top Ramen.
I think that'd be
good.
That's
better. Yeah. Top Ramen's a little bit better.
Yeah, but we got our own thing, man. We got fiends' names. We don't need Juggalo names.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
They have their tribe. We have treaties with their tribe. They have treaties with us. We honor them. They honor them. You know.
All right.
Hat tip to the Juggalos. But I don't spend a lot of time thinking about that from day to day. So I spend a lot of time thinking about libertarians and how they're doing things wrong and how they should do things the way we do. So let's talk about Ron Paul and his paywall. Ron Paul, first of all, here's what's wrong with Ron Paul's new video channel. The audio's not great. It's pretty good, but it's not great. But he should listen.
I don't know if it was as bad as you thought it was.
Zoom. Mm-hmm. Like the dog, like the guy on
Dog Whisperer.
Yeah. I'm dog whispering you. So, here's what else is wrong with it. He's trying to make it look like Fox News. He's got the red, white, and blue background, the spinning graphics, kind of slick. And it's like, it doesn't really work. And he's got the vaguely ethnic girl, and I can say that because you were the requisite vaguely ethnic hire at the news agency you were at. They need a guy who's kind of brown, but not too brown because it scares people.
There you go.
That's what it is. Yeah. It really is. I mean, that's what they do. And you know that because you worked in mainstream media. So
you speak English really well. A cop told me when he pulled me over in the news jeep.
Oh, my God. Ugh. That's racist. So basically, Ron Paul is trying to imitate Fox News and or CNN. And he doesn't need to, man. What he really should do, I mean, I think would be better is just him in his office, in his cozy home. Instead of trying to make his home look like Fox News, I don't want Ron Paul trying to look like a talking head. I want Ron Paul being Ron Paul, being like, the avuncular, like cool old grandpa guy. That's his purpose in life to us. And he should stay there.
Yep. I agree, too. Although there is something to be said, like Ben Swan said when we interviewed him, that there are visual cues. There are these subconscious things that make people think, oh, this is news. But I don't really know if Ron Paul's audience in general falls for that. And if the idea is not to preach to the choir, the people that already love him who are going to be the ones paying $10 a month to see this, but it's to spread the message, then why are you having people pay $10 to see this, right? If the idea is to spread the word, how are you gonna convince somebody who hates Ron Paul and thinks he's some right-wing conspiracist and doesn't understand the concept of liberty?
To pay $10 to check him out.
To pay $10. Yeah. Somebody who thinks he's funded by the Koch brothers is not going to pay $10 to watch the Ron Paul channel.
Yeah. I mean, basically the only purpose this can possibly serve at this point, charging $10 a month to watch Ron Paul do new videos where he's acting like Fox News, is to generate revenue. And there's nothing wrong with that, but Ron Paul already has enough money. He's a millionaire a few times over from his book sales. And he doesn't need to. Maybe he's trying to leave money to his like 97 great grandchildren or something, but I don't know, man. I think he should, I can't tell him what he should do, but if he wants to just spread liberty, he should give it away and, sell his books or something. Because in this day and age, the only thing that you really have that's sellable is your name, and giving everything away builds your name. And although,
well, hey, sell ads and merch. I mean, what was it? RonPaul.com. Remember the giant fallout with them because he said they can't use my name and they're making all this money. They weren't making all the money by having a paywall on their website.
Right.
They were selling advertising and merch.
Right. And I want to counter your thing before of, you saying like my argument that the smart thing to do, and I'm not saying it's the ethical thing to the only ethical thing to do, but the smart thing to do in this day and age is to give everything away and find out other ways to make money and not even worry about it. Maybe still have a day job. And the reason I say that is I've been doing that since I started playing in punk rock bands 30 years ago. Every piece of art I've made, I've been more concerned about getting a message out than making money. And I've ended up making a bunch of money at it. ironically. You know, Jimi Hendrix said, like, find your heart and the world will follow, which sounds really hippie, but it worked for Jimi Hendrix. Jimi Hendrix, his whole career before he got famous, people said, you're too flamboyant, you're too wild, quit playing feedback, it sounds horrible. You know, but Jimi Hendrix didn't listen, and he did what he did and gave it away, and then suddenly the world wanted to pay him a bunch of money for it, and then he died.
Oh, what a happy ending, Michael. You're really good at selling that one. But no, I totally get the point. Then we'll be back with more discussion on this and other topics when we return from the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Yeah, your voice sounded like feedback there. That was really cool.
I was singing with my music.
Jimi Hendrix thing?
I was singing with my music, man. No effects. No FX. Like the punk band, No FX.
Like the punk band. I remember them. Yeah.
They're commies, man.
Pump up the volume. They did some good songs, though.
Did they do a song called Pump Up the Volume? That's funny.
I think they had an album called Pump Up the Volume, I think.
Makes sense. They were, you know, they were kind of like the ICP of punk rock.
Really?
Yeah. Everything was goofy. They were great, though. The band was really good. But they were really goofy. I mean, they had a song called Pump Up the Valium. Come on, man. That's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny.
It is.
That
it
could be an ICP album if it hadn't been an NoFX album. So anyway, Ron Paul and what he's doing wrong.
Yeah, so I was trying to tell you, okay, maybe there's – to play devil's advocate, maybe there's something to the paywall. But before we get there, I just wanted to point out that the Lou Rockwell crowd is not upset about the paywall. In fact, they're saying – quit being a crybaby about the paywall. Just pay the money so you can see this great man delivering his speeches. But in March 28th of 2011, there's the blog post. And I just did a search because I remember this. It's just a Google search. I think there was actually more comments on Lou Rockwell about this. But Lou Rockwell's headline here on this blog post is, "The New York Times paywall goes live." The only comment that Lou Rockwell put is he quotes Gary North saying, "And another mastodon goes into the tar pit." I.e., this is the dinosaur media and its last breath is doing something that's bad for business, which is the paywall. And then another headline more recently by Travis Holt at LouRockwell.com. The headline is, "Newspapers Worldwide Scramble to Commit Suicide." And they're talking about paywalls. How are the state's private propaganda merchants of Dead Tree Media trying to save their morbid industry? By charging what readers they have left to read their lies online.
I would also like to point out here that they're using a phrase I coined. The thing of, you know, things going extinct like dinosaurs. That's been a saying before, kind of not a very common one. But in my 2002 book, $30 Film School, I used the phrase and basically talking about people who are trying to do copyright protection on things. In that book, I said that the old model of media, and this is 11 years ago, the old model of media is like a dinosaur thrashing in the tar pits while going extinct. And that kind of became a meme. And apparently it got to the Lou Rockwell blog because somebody used my phrase there. It just hit me. I was like, wow, okay, yeah.
But you don't feel you're owed anything because they might not even directly trace that back to you, right?
I could send him a bill for seven cents, man. No, I would not, because that'd be violating what I'm complaining about, the old model of media. So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, here, so, let me have you get there. So Zoom.
All right.
Because here's the thing. To play devil's advocate, some people have argued that if you put content behind a paywall, and if that becomes a new model and gets more prevalent, then you'll end up with content that's worth the asking price, because people will have the money to do that, and then they'll feel obligated because they're working full time at it, or more than just, you know, it being a hobby, but they feel obligated to buy the expensive equipment, pay the professionals who have no agenda but are just the best person at video editing or color correcting or audio production. They'll be able to pay the professionals, and you'll end up with product that's better than if everybody's doing it for free and still has to spend 40, 60 hours a week working. He didn't give any examples, or I didn't read any examples in the article I read with this argument. But I thought, well, hey, what about Netflix? You know, they charge a monthly fee, and they're producing original content that's way better than a lot of the stuff you see on TV. Yeah. Like Orange is the New Black is one of the best series ever. House of Cards is an amazing series. So what do you have to think about that?
How much is Netflix a month for streaming only?
I think we pay like $8, $7.99, I think it is. Yeah.
How much is Ron Paul per month?
I think it's like $9.99.
How much is the Casper Tribune, which is a like Cowtown newspaper? It's $9.95 a month.
I haven't looked that up, no.
Okay, so it's a matter of pricing for one thing, because Ron Paul is charging $10 a month for Ron Paul, and the Casper Star Tribune, a little Cowtown newspaper, is charging $10 a month to read them online. But the thing is, Netflix is charging a dollar less than that for basically every movie ever made almost every TV show and original content. I mean, if you said, okay, Netflix is definitely worth that $9 a month, which I think it is, and I pay it, you know, I think Ron Paul would be worth about a penny a month, and I think the Casper Star Tribune would be worth about a thousandth of a penny a month. First of all, you could go watch Ron Paul videos probably on YouTube. You could watch Ron Paul drop mad science, and it's a lot more interesting than him imitating, you know. We got to go back on the next break. We have to go find Ron Paul like 25 years ago screaming at some pro drug war people on the Morton Downey Jr. show.
Yes,
man,
yes.
That I'd pay for that, and it's free. But you could probably watch Ron Paul videos 24 hours a day for 7 or 8 months on YouTube before you'd repeat one. So why do you want to go pay him acting like, you know, Shepard Smith on Fox News?
Yeah, and I do distaste that. And, you know, Scott Horton is one of the biggest Ron Paul promoters ever. He loves it. He's always on I can't say that on the radio. But Scott Horton really loves Ron Paul, and he really is into this whole new Ron Paul channel thing, or at least he was before it started. But one of his other big complaints about the Ron Paul presidential campaign in 2012 was that they were pitching him as a mainstream guy. They were selling him as if they were selling him to regular Republicans. They're saying, oh, he was a military veteran, the only military veteran in the Republican nominees or nomination process. And the format of it was like a Ford truck commercial. You know, it's like this flash animation with like this guy with this voice like this, and like some
in a world
vague generic rock in the background. No, it was like kind of like hip, you know, like the Ford truck commercials. And Scott Horton was just so upset about that. He's like, no, man, he's Ron Paul. The whole point of what makes him great is that he's different than all these other guys. So why are you trying to pitch him as if he's the same as these other guys, but better on a few things? And it's the same thing with this whole Ron Paul channel. Why are you framing it like it's the mainstream media that we all hate anyway? The reason we like Ron Paul is because he's nothing like the mainstream media.
He probably hired one of those K Street consultancies that we were complaining about yesterday, and they said, you got to look more. I still go back to Jimi Hendrix, man. If Jimi Hendrix had listened to any of the like music industry bigwigs and experts, including like James Brown, who James Brown fired him from his band saying, you're too flamboyant. People don't want to see you. They want to see me. And, you know, club owners said, you're too loud, turn down. And when the Kinks turned in their first master tape, it was the first record that had ever had feedback on it. And the engineers at the major record company rejected it. They said, this is technically unacceptable because there's feedback on it. Feedback is a technical bad thing. We don't want feedback on a record. Make them do it again. You know, people don't get it when someone comes along and vastly changes something. They don't get it. And Ron Paul came along and vastly changed something. And now at age like 77, he's trying to be like everyone else. It's ridiculous, man. Yeah. Just be Ron Paul. Just give your fireside chats in your office and look like the grandpa we wish we had, telling us how it is, and give it away and sell your books and charge a speaking fee when you go out in public and make money some other way. Put ads on it, man. I'm not saying there's nothing unethical about a paywall. But it guarantee, I mean, they said in Lou Rockwell, another newspaper commits suicide. Basically, you don't make money.
Well, it's the O'Reilly Media thing, right? You should fear obscurity more than you would ever fear piracy. And yeah, you wouldn't worry about piracy with the Ron Paul thing, but it's the same concept that people are getting the content for free without paying for it.
And I make money. Part of my living is checks from O'Reilly Media. They still come years later from books I wrote. And another ironic thing. Okay. I've been championing this thing since like my first punk band, you know, in 1983, saying, give it away. Don't care about the money. Care about being eternal. I just wrote an article for Talkers Magazine called How to Make Your Radio Show Popular 150 Years in the Future. And basically that's a lot of what it says. And it says, make it freely available. Don't have any restrictions on sharing it. Make people want to give it away. Make a quality product that's groundbreaking and give it away and figure out some other way to make money, whether it's selling ads or whether it's having a day job like Nima Vedati. And the ironic thing is, I've been saying this forever, and other people have said to me, no, you have to charge money. People don't think something's valuable if you don't charge money. And people that were saying that to me 10 years ago are still working day jobs, and I'm making a living creating content from my home, working my own hours whenever I want to, because I've stuck to my principle. It just worked out for me, man. It's like I'm the Jimi Hendrix of talk radio, I guess.
Well, here's another notch in your argument is, how much money does Alex Jones make a year?
$6 million, according to him. Gross is six million.
Is there a paywall for Alex Jones?
No. And Alex Jones really embraced this early on and was brilliant about it. Alex Jones makes feature-length documentary films, sells DVDs of them.
That's where I was going to get to.
And says, if you buy this one copy of this DVD, you can make a million copies of it and sell them and keep the money. And he uploads high-res art that you can print to make a good-looking cover. I've been at gun shows and seen people selling Alex Jones DVDs. And I'm like, oh, you work for him? And he's like, no, anybody can do this. And people buy them. That is brilliant, man.
Yeah. You go to any place in Austin and they're handing out InfoWars stickers, InfoWars magazine, sometimes InfoWars DVDs. And yeah, you're right. His daily grind, his radio show he does every day, you can listen to that completely free. You can watch it online for free. But then he's got these projects that he sells. And, you know, this was kind of what Ron Paul did when he was a congressman is, I guess he got paid from taxpayer dollars. That's another pit of worms we could get into, but there was no cost for the consumer to watch Ron Paul on the congressional floor from some C-SPAN rip.
And he sold books. His books were bestsellers, and he made millions of dollars on them, man.
So why doesn't he do the Ron Paul channel, give it away, the content for free, and then maybe do a DVD of the best of, or have you pay for a weekend review of it, or the best of DVD, or something like that, you know?
Yeah, and with software, there's models for that too. Like people will do open source software and give it away, and then have a subscription package for companies to do tech support, which is brilliant. I mean, Linux is free, but the Red Hat Linux company made their own version of Linux that works really well for enterprise solutions, for big companies, for running all their servers, and then they charge for the physical version of it, and then they charge for 24/7 tech support, which you need if you're running enterprise level servers.
Yeah, definitely. So I guess that's where we land on this, is that there's other ways to do it. And if you want to do a paywall, that's fine. There's nothing unethical about it, but it seems it might be a bit impractical. Here's the other thing is, this whole Ron Paul channel venture is so new. Maybe it'll work for them and it'll be some kind of new precedent. It'll be a new model.
I predict it won't. I'll say it on record now, man. It's going
to
fail.
But here's the other thing is, I don't think they'll stick to it if it's not working. I think Ron Paul is smart enough to where he's willing to – and he's consistent. He's willing to change it
If he made the price 99 cents instead of $9.99, it would work.
I might buy that.
I'd buy it too.
All right. And speaking of buying things, listen to the ads and buy something. We'll be back
on the Freedom Fiends.
listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support only a phone call away 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
All right, it's Freedom Fiends Live. I'm Nima Vedati. Thank you for sticking with us. It's the bottom of hour one. It is Sunday, August 18th, and we've also got Michael W. Dean. Yeah. You know where his bunker is already.
You know so what kind of bunker it is, too.
What kind of bunker? Yeah. No windows at all. No. Please say the whole thing or not at all. So, Michael, I guess we're done with the Ron Paul paywall
thing.
I am
not
done.
You're not done? No.
Okay. No, say more.
I don't know, out of your mouth. I just think that if you want to make a living in this world, in the new economy, you got to give stuff away and sell your name. That's what you got to sell, man. You know, Alex Jones sells his name. People want to be associated with Alex Jones. People want to advertise on Alex Jones. Yeah. You know, Ron Paul, people would pay him to come speak. They would buy his books. But here's the thing. With Netflix also, like they why it's working and why iTunes is working, because they don't charge too much for something and they make it really easy to use.
Here's
the thing. Anything that's on Netflix or iTunes, you can go get on Pirate Bay. You can pirate it. You can have it downloaded. You can often get
it
quicker.
But you got to spend a lot of time.
Yeah. And
sometimes.
risk prison. We don't recommend breaking the law. Never.
Risk some viruses, possibly. There's some risks involved, at least more risks
more
than
risk
there would
than
be.
The average person. And there's ways around all that stuff, and smart people can absolutely never get caught and absolutely never get a virus. And there's ways around it. But the thing is, the average person doesn't want to jump through those hoops. They'd rather pay $9.99 a month for every movie ever made and most TV shows. And it's a model that works. And the thing that doesn't work with delivery like that is, like, for instance, HBO. They do a thing where if you're an HBO subscriber, you can sign up on their website, jump through a whole bunch of hoops, and then you can download episodes from that have recently aired. But you have to, like, install a toolbar that's going to display ads. It's ridiculous. And you have to jump through a whole bunch of hoops. It's easier for someone to just go to Pirate Bay and get it. And, like, all those companies, they try to put commercials in the stuff. And Pirate Bay, people strip those out, man. It's like you just get it and you watch it. And I'm not saying go break the law, but I'm saying when it's so easy to do something that has such a low risk, people will do that unless you make it easier. And Netflix makes it easier. iTunes makes it easier. And they don't charge an arm and a leg for it. They really don't, man.
What they're really selling is that ease.
The convenience.
The convenience.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, maybe Ron Paul Channel should instead offer a subscription fee and offer a compendium of all Liberty Media ever in a very easy thing so I don't have to sit there and track down a podcast I vaguely remember the title of from 3 years ago.
What Ron Paul should do is take the money he's spending on trying to look like Fox News and on consultants who are telling him to do that, and he should hire us. We'd be cheaper, and we would be better. And, you know, most people would never –
and he could hire a vaguely ethnic correspondent who has some Liberty credentials as well and has
Nima.
Been on TV instead of Diane.
And this has not been a big, you know, lead up to Ron Paul should hire us. I mean, he probably won't hire us because, you know, people don't want to hire people who have insulted their business model. But I consider this tough love, man. I consider this like, you know – if you have a friend who's an alcoholic and he is ruining his life and the lives of those around him, you tell him, you know?
Yep.
And he probably won't get sober, but, you know, you had to tell him because you care about him and you love him. And we love Ron Paul and care about him. And we want to knock the bottle of the mainstream media out of his hand and try to make him do his own, try to get him to do his own thing.
Yeah, and I guess that's kind of what made me feel so it left such a bad taste in my mouth hearing it, the lead up to the Ron Paul channel. It's going to be not the mainstream media, not the mainstream media, exactly the opposite of it. And then you watch it and it looks exactly like it. And there's whoosh noises and red, white, and blue backgrounds. And he's on a set that looks like it's right out of the Situation Room. And Wolf Blitzer could walk in at any moment and do crosstalk. And yeah, he's interviewing Glenn Greenwald. And yeah, there's some great topics. And yeah, it is current events, which is different from, you know, you said you could go watch, you know, a year's worth of Ron Paul videos for free on YouTube, but it's not going to be the most current topics. But yeah. Here's the other thing. Speaking of that, is Ron Paul doing takedown notices of people? Is yeah. he taking
He's
down
got
people
someone
that are reposting
doing it.
This?
He's got someone doing it. Which is, you know, I don't even want to argue the ethics of that. Let's just stay on the, that's another way to not have anyone care who you are in 150 years. If you're trying to stop fans from sharing your media, you are not going to be remembered. I'm serious. In 150 years, people are going to know who the Fiends are and not know who Ron Paul is. And that's the bottom line, man.
Mm, yeah. Why erect barriers to the exchange of ideas? If yeah. this is supposed to be a battle and ideas can always cross borders, why are you going to try to create other borders, intellectual property yeah. borders, to keep those ideas from flowing?
So
ideas
square.
Must flow, just like cats, and
so
we'll
square.
Be back.
So square. They're so square when they try to do that.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Alright, alright, it's Nima Vidati of the Freedom Fiends. Thanks for sticking with us for hour two of the Fiends Live Talk Radio Show on Sunday the 18th. We've also got Michael W. Dean over there in his bunker. What's up, Mr. Dean?
This is Mr. Michael Dean broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural, wild Mountain West in the occupied states of America. And speaking of intellectual property, which I don't really believe in, you know, I don't send lawyer letters to people. I just shame people if they steal my thing, if they bite it, you know, and make it their own. See, I don't care if anyone shares my media. I care if people take my media and plagiarize and say they came up with it. And there's actually another talk radio show out there that opens with something that's very similar to ours, saying from a windowless bunker in the Mountain West, like literally, like they bit it. And they've been using it for like a year and a half. I just found this out, but I made that up like 2 years ago. We started using that on our first podcast episodes, and obviously they heard it and bit it. So if you hear someone else doing that and it's got some bad techno music behind it, they bit it from me. They did. So, yep.
Yeah, but you're not going to send a takedown notice.
No.
And you wouldn't send a takedown notice when somebody puts our podcast or the radio show archive up on their Facebook page.
No, I send them a thank
YouTube,
you, man. I send them a thank you.
Or a blog, you send them a thank you.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anybody is free to do it.
That's how you remain relevant 150 yep. years in the future.
Yep, yep. I did a song last fall or winter, I guess. It was a Christmas song called A Gun for Everyone. And or maybe was it Obama's Feet Stink? The one that somebody put up and edited it. Like there was
they
a
took
few
the cussing
F-bombs
out.
In there.
Yeah.
They took the cussing out and reposted it. And, you know, we made fun of it a little bit. And I was like, you know, the cussing's kind of part of it. But if somebody felt like they liked it enough to spend the hour or two it took them to re-edit it and put it up, I'm not going to tell them to take it down. I would never do that.
And we actually offered them advice on how to, if they're going to censor our stuff or other people's stuff in the future, of how to do it in a less intrusive way. Because they basically like dropped the audio to zero and it just killed the beat. You know, basically what they should have done was taken it into an editing program and just highlighted the cuss word or part of the cuss word and then just reverse the audio. So it's like, because then you kind of keep the beat, man. That's how you do it.
Right. I do that real time at weddings sometimes. I try to only play when I DJ weddings, I try to only play edited stuff, obviously, unless the crowd, you know, all the kids are gone and they're a little tipsy and they want to hear back that A Up by Juvenile unedited. Then I'll play it. But for the most part, but sometimes every now and then, you know, you'll put something on and you'll realize, oh, crap, I put on the unedited version that I have.
Oh, Feinstein.
And, you know, you can't just kill it. Because that would kill the mood, the vibe, and make people clear the dance floor. But there's actually a switch on all good mixers or good turntables that will do a reverse instantaneously. You just click the switch, and it's called a bleep switch. It'll actually play it in reverse for as long as you hold it down. But it'll still keep rolling, like a loop roll. Like the timeline will still keep moving in real time so that you don't go off beat, you don't miss anything.
I actually heard us broadcasting yesterday delayed on a radio station somewhere in the oil industry area. And there was a really cool public service announcement from a local church. And I liked it. And I liked that they do this. I cuss in my personal life, and we cuss on our Wednesday show, but we never cuss on the radio. But they're basically saying, like, don't cuss on the oil derricks. And they were suggesting that people say the word bless instead of the F word. And I kind of like that. I thought it was sweet. And I like that plays on our show somewhere. And here's what I would say, though. The Fiends version of that is don't say the F word. Instead of saying the F word, say Feinstein. Just make that the cuss
Feinstein.
Word, man.
Feinstein. That's the new
Feinsteining. That okay. Feinsteining. So, yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
So speaking of things that are square and people that want to take your rights at the point of a gun, we teased this a little bit before the show. We're going to talk about Ron Paul. We talked about how Ron Paul is charging money for his show, and there's nothing unethical about that, but no one's going to pay it, and he's going to fail, and he's going to only preach to the choir and not reach new people. And if his goal is to reach new people, he should either charge a lot less or not charge or figure out another way to make money and give it away. So, and we also said that, and why would you pay for that, you know, when you could go watch 7 months straight, 24 hours a day of Ron Paul videos on YouTube for free that are great? And yeah, they're not current stuff, but some of it's even cooler than current stuff. And we're going to play a little bit of Ron Paul on the, I almost said Robert Downey Jr. show, on the Morton Downey Jr. show, no relation, which was he was a pioneer of talk radio. He did a talk radio style, TV show. This is from 1988. It's a young looking Ron Paul. And basically the topic on this day was the war on drugs. And Ron Paul was saying he's against it and it violates people's rights and it's worse than the drugs. And the we're in favor side of the war on drugs was a group called the Guardian Angels, who I guess still exist, but they were a lot bigger in the 70s and 80s. They were kind of like paramilitary dressed, you know, red, what do you call those hats? Like Mao hats?
Beanie
hats?
Berets.
Berets, yeah. Like they kind of looked kind of military and they walked around New York playing cop. And, you know, I think in a libertarian paradise, there would be something like this. There would be a real neighborhood watch. But these people had some controversy, including filing false police reports and creating fake crimes and rescuing people and getting the news there to give themselves publicity.
Yeah, that makes you lose all kind of credibility for being some kind of force for good at all. And they never had any credibility for me to begin with, because the first time I encountered them was this video clip that you're about to play, where they basically sound like screeching busybodies that they're not trying to fill the gaps that the cops are leaving empty. They're trying to help the state to enforce its silly edicts on people and decrease their freedom. But we'll let Ron Paul take them down a peg, because Ron Paul is amazing. We're never trying to hurt the ideas or the concepts that he pushes, only the strategy he's taking now.
And this is awesome. And this thing's like an hour long. We're not going to play the whole thing, obviously. But a little bit of backstory. Morton Downey Jr., who is arguing in favor of the war on drugs on this, was famous for chain smoking. And at one point in this, Ron Paul says, well, I don't think smoking should be outlawed, but I'm a physician and I'll tell you, I think you shouldn't be smoking cigarettes. And, you know, Morton Downey Jr. is basically like, don't tell me what to do. I'm busy telling people drugs should be outlawed. Morton Downey Jr. later died of lung cancer. Okay. So this busybody who thinks pot should be illegal and cigarettes should be legal, and don't tell me what to do. I'm busy telling other people what to do, died from what he was doing that a physician lovingly suggested he stop doing.
Suggested, exactly.
Yeah. All right, here we go. He also calls Ron Paul a coke addict, which Ron Paul's never done coke in his life. So here we go. This is great TV, man. And it's Ron Paul back when he was angry.
Snorting cocaine in the Oval Office. Stay with us.
Yeah, snorting cocaine in the Oval Office. He's got a cigarette in his hand in this. He's smoking on TV.
Let me introduce a new guest at home base. We're going to talk with former Congressman Ron Paul. At loudmouth number two, we have, of course, Lisa Sliwa, one of the co-founders of Guardian. Congressman Paul, you are, I should say, Ron, you're running for the presidency of the United States now. Tell me on this 4th of July, how can you call for something that I think is un-American, the legalization of drugs in this country?
Because I detest the use of drugs, and I think we would have a lot less drugs used if they were legal. I think it's part of the American system to let people make freedom of choices. We let them read literature and pick and choose what they should read and study. We let them pick which religion they want to follow, very important subjects. So we let people in a free society make their decisions on what's best for their body. We think that smoking sometimes...
They want rape and murder people, they should be allowed to do that.
Lisa, I'll let you jump in. So we believe
that individuals in a free society can make choices about their own personal habits. We believe they can eat what they want. Sometimes
you
they
do stuff this way.
Yes, I will. Well,
even when you weren't a libertarian congressman, you're running as a libertarian.
Yes, I was a libertarian congressman. I wouldn't say that when I was 22, I endorsed all the same views. But
were you a Democrat or a Republican?
I was a Republican, but I was a libertarian Republican. I always voted a libertarian voting record.
No, so you believe that the government should stay out of our personal business altogether.
Yeah, this is correct.
That's good, guys. It also happens to be my personal business if I want to kill my 4-year-old kid, right?
He said, he just equated smoking pot with, it should be okay to kill your kid. Man.
They just don't get it, man. They don't understand that there's the non-aggression principle to temper this. Libertarians don't say people should do whatever they want. They say people should make all the decisions concerning their own body and their own person as long as they don't hurt other people. Because if they hurt other people, they're taking away other people's decision to decide what's best for their own body.
Preach it, Brother Beavis. Preach it.
Do we got more of that? Are we going to get the yelling match between Ron and the berated little busybody?
Yeah, we could probably find that. There's a lot of just screaming in this.
You're talking about the difference in usage between legalizing and having it illegal.
No, we're talking about saving America before our country goes down the drain.
Before 1915, there were 20,000. Wait a minute.
Argument to crap right away. During Prohibition, you had upwards, all right, of 2 million alcoholics in the United States when it was illegal, all right? Soon as you legalize it, we've got 38 million alcoholics in this country.
Okay. God, yeah, that's a little obnoxious.
I want to get right. Wait, we got to get Ron Paul yelling though. This is good. Okay. Ron Paul yelling.
If you want to put the drug dealer out of business overnight, it's legalized drugs. There's no drug dealer.
Kind of like the angry Ron Paul, man.
The angry Ron Paul.
You don't see the angry. Now, I'd pay $10 a month to see Ron Paul scream like that every day. I would. If you want to make money, go back to the 1988 style Ron Paul, and I would pay $10 a month to watch a new 5 minutes of that every day.
Or have a storefront, the Ron Paul screaming room, like Adam Kokesh and Scott Horton have.
In Lib Pair, yeah.
Although I think in that Lib Pair, it would have been better or more accurate if instead of the Scott Horton screaming room, it was the Scott Horton hyperbole lesson class.
Yeah.
Because he's the best at hyperbole in the libertarian world. We'll be back with more of our own libertarian macho flash after we take this trip to the market.
At the Freedom Fiend screaming room.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
What's that? Oh, yeah. It's the Freedom Fiends Live. I'm Nima Vidati. We've got Michael W. Dean. We're going to continue our conversation here a little bit on, I guess now where we're at is the whole IP thing and the concept of what you can do to still keep your revenue stream up even without charging your consumers of your media, because you don't necessarily have to do that. If you're trying to spread the message, maybe you want there to be as little barrier as possible to new people that are uninitiated into your content to become consumers of your content.
Yeah, and Ron Paul is giving, like, you know, the first hits free. He's doing the drug dealer thing. Like, you can go watch a 1 minute video of him on there, but I love Ron Paul, and he changed my life and vastly influenced my philosophy early on my journey to liberty. And I watched a minute of him on there and I went, this isn't worth paying $10 a month for, you know. And it's not just because, oh, I already got it from him, but because really he influences a lot of people who then kind of take it further, take it all the way to like the Murray Rothbard level. And, you know, that's another thing, like Murray Rothbard stuff. It's all free. It's all give it away. All his books are given away online.
Yeah, and you can listen to people reading his articles at Mises.org. You can listen to Jeff Riggenbach in his deep, sexy libertarian voice.
Yeah.
Reading the hits, the classics. And all that
you know,
good
like
stuff.
Christianity never would have become such a dominant religion in the world if everybody who was ever exposed to it had to pay. You know, like they do it the right way in a lot of churches. They preach for free and then they pass the hat. That's how you do it, man. That's how you spread an idea worldwide forever.
Well, speaking of right way and wrong way, we're going to talk about a different kind of wrong way for a little bit. I think we're done. We've beat the Ron Paul.
No, we
thing.
Didn't. We didn't.
You didn't?
Because we didn't say another company that really figured out how to do it right. When YouTube first started and everybody could upload everything all of a sudden and become the media, as they say, people were uploading their favorite songs, they're uploading movie clips, they're uploading TV clips, and all of the movie, TV, and media companies started suing or sending, you know, we're going to sue you lawyer letters to YouTube and almost put them out of business. And YouTube was brilliant. What they did was they partnered with them. They said, hey, we've got this new technology that can tell, you know, look through a database of everything you've ever put out as soon as someone uploads it and tell if it's got your content in it. And instead of taking it down, let's put ads on it, and YouTube and the content creator can split the money, and we'll put iTunes ads on it if it's a song, so people could go buy the song. That was brilliant, man.
Completely
and that's,
brilliant.
That's even working within the copyright system, within the IP system. It's kind of finding the bridge between the old dino and the tar pits. You know, they basically took the dinosaur's DNA from some amber as it was dead and then like revitalized it into a new species of commerce. It was pretty cool.
Exactly.
Man.
And the way they did that is they were looking for the win-win-win situation. They knew it didn't have to be a zero-sum game, and they shouldn't play it like that. They found a way to where the viewer gets to watch it. I mean, there may be 5 seconds, 15 seconds, but they even came up with the skip ad concept, didn't they?
Yeah.
Was that you too?
Yeah.
To where you watch the first 5 seconds. If you're intrigued by the first 5 seconds of the pitch, you can continue watching. If you've already seen the ad or you want to get right to the content, you can just click skip. You know, genius stuff. And the people who have the content that they feel is being pirated, they win too, because they make money off the ad, or somebody clicks on the link because they're like, well, I want to listen to this in my car, not on YouTube. And I want to have it to where I own it, so I'm not using up data on my smartphone. And so they go to iTunes and buy it. So the media company wins there too. And then of course YouTube wins because people continue to go to YouTube to get the content originally.
And
as
the
an easy, convenient way.
The advertising companies and the viewer also won, because part of what that did was pushed advertising companies to make ads more interesting and compelling. So people wouldn't skip them. And ads have gotten better. I don't skip all the ads. Sometimes I'm like, I don't even like this product, but I like this ad. I'm going to check this out.
Ad.
So
yeah.
Now let me do the segue this time. Speaking of zero sum games, let's talk about the federal government. Go, Nima, go.
That's what they are, aren't they? So, this just sickened me, them trotting out Bradley Manning. We touched on it a little bit in yesterday's live radio show. But basically, they trotted out Bradley Manning. It's in the sentencing phase now. He's been convicted, although they threw out one of the charges.
They threw out one of the charges. I think the reason they threw out the most egregious charge, the one that was punishable by hanging or whatever, treason or whatever it was.
Firing squad.
Yeah, I think the reason that they threw that out was they didn't want to seem too mean, but they still wanted to be really mean to keep people from doing this. They wanted to make sure there weren't riots in the street, but they wanted to try to spank this guy so darn, so Feinsteiningly hard that that other people would think twice before doing it. And even so, like, they haven't sentenced yet, but he could get 90 years in prison. I have a theory too that however long, that's more than a life sentence for the average person, but I think that if the U.S. military comes up with life-extending drugs, they will test them on Bradley Manning to extend his sentence.
they will waterboard him with Inshore and a concoction of the new life-extending drugs.
For 200 years.
Yes,
we'll be back
with more fiends after the market.
Yep.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Inoculation from indoctrination. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Yo, it's Freedom Fiends Live. I'm Nima Vidati. We've got Michael W. Dean in his government-sanctioned private bunker out there in Wyoming.
It's not government sanctioned, but we have joked about how at one point the Civil Defense Squad, which turned into FEMA, it's because Civil Defense CD was a thing in the 60s, and they used to have a government booklet on how to construct a bomb-proof bunker, a nuke-proof bunker in your backyard, and that was from the government printing office in Pueblo, Colorado. And now, if you built a bunker in your backyard, the Department of Homeland Security, which is in charge of FEMA, which used to be the CD, Civil Defense, would probably take exception to it and possibly, you know, consider you a terrorist, and or your local city council would probably take your home if you didn't change it.
Janet Napolitano herself would crawl down your chimney and hit you with a yardstick.
She's out. Who's in, man? I can't tell. They switch tyrants like a three-card Monty. I can't tell.
All the same, man. It's all the same. They're like the trumpet player in James Brown's band. I don't know.
Or the guitar player other than Hendrix.
But we
know who the drummer is. It was Stubblefield, because he was the most sampled man in rock
funky
and roll.
Funky drummer. Yeah.
And, you know, I think that James Brown had his lawyers send takedown notices to rappers who were sampling The guy who was the drummer for Pay. You know, I don't think Stubblefield got the money from James Brown's publishing company sending cease and desists. I think James Brown got it.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, we were talking about other very, very
zero-sum games.
Zero-sum games. That's what I was looking for. Yeah, so Bradley Manning, man, it just sickened me how they trotted him out to give this canned apology. It felt so Soviet to me. Like, this is what they used to tell about the Soviet Union, was that these people get thrown in jail for no reason. They get labeled as political prisoners. But before they execute them, it's part of the process, part of the protocol, to have them go on TV or mass media or in front of the public and apologize for hurting the Grand Soviet, for crimes against the state. And they did the same thing with Bradley Manning. They trotted him out, and he said, "I'm sorry that I hurt the United States." Here, I'll read his whole quote. "I'm sorry that my actions hurt people. I'm sorry that they hurt the United States. I'm sorry for the unintended consequences of my actions. When I made these decisions, I believed I was going to help people, not hurt people. The last few years have been a learning experience." You know what he learned? He learned how to say the things that his torturers wanted him to say, because that's really what was going on here. Is he was tortured for a long time. He was in prison for, what, 3 years? That's no speedy trial there. And the judge did admit in the case that the conditions, the stress positions, the being naked in solitary confinement, the judge admitted that that was uncalled for. And she gave him like a day time served for each day that he was tortured. You know, she didn't dismiss the case. She didn't throw it out. She just gave him a day time served. So 90 days, 100 days, something like that out of 90 years. Yeah, that's a big concession. But I think Julian Assange put it best when commenting on what happened here. He says, "Mr. Manning's apology is a statement extorted from him under the overbearing weight of the United States military justice system. It took 3 years and millions of dollars to extract 2 minutes of tactical remorse from this brave soldier."
Yeah, well, you know, when you make somebody apologize, I mean, that's classic bully behavior. You know, the bully pushes your face into the mud in the schoolyard and says, "Say you're sorry, say you're sorry, say you're sorry." Mm-hmm. And an extracted apology is no apology at all. And, you know, anybody who's worked the 12 steps knows that a real amends means to make whole, and it has to come from the heart. It can't be forced. And but, you know, if any governments, all governments love to do this, and all courts do this, and they, like, you know, give you a slightly more lenient, horrific Feinsteinian experience if you apologize, and they will make you do it. You don't even know that they made him do it. The system made him do it. His lawyer may have strongly suggested it, you know, but the whole system is set up to make you quiver before the God of the state. And anyone who's religious, who believes that statism is good and governments are good, I don't care about that one little quote in the Bible. It's been misinterpreted. If you make the state your God, you are kicking God off the throne.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I heard it put really well the other day, that Romans 13, I think what you're talking about. I think in the language it says, give the government all the respect that's due, or all the obedience due. Well, maybe it was a tongue-in-cheek thing, like, they're due none, so give them none. You know, that could have been it. Randy England said that when he was interviewed by Lou Rockwell, and we've talked to Randy England.
Yeah, he has
before.
A great book called Why Catholics Should Become Libertarians, and he is a very strong Catholic. He's also an attorney. He's also a former prosecutor, and he has great insights into how horrible. Yeah, you know, in a religious conversion setting, when you're showing people being converted, whether it's a church or AA, the worse you were in your – when you give your story, whether it's Oprah or the church or AA, when you tell your story of what it was like, what happened, and what you're like now, the worse you were before, the more impressive your conversion is. Wow. And Randy was a prosecutor for the state, and now he does not like what the state so-called justice, the injustice system, does.
Right, right. But yeah, this Bradley Manning thing. So he says he's sorry that he hurt the United States.
"I'm sorry I leak."
How?
"I'm sorry I leak."
But he followed it after that with, you know, "I'm sorry if I hurt people." Or he says it first, "I'm sorry that my actions hurt people." It hurt people that do nothing but hurt people all day. It hurt the feelings of the powerful people that want to kill more innocent people.
I mean, one of the main things he put out was a video shot from a helicopter of soldiers murdering innocent people with a 50 cal machine gun and laughing about it.
Yeah.
And like not identifying.
What are the guys saying about somebody crawling on the ground with his legs blown off by the 50 caliber machine gun? The gunner's still pointed at him and he's like, come on, man, just pick up that gun. Pick up the gun. And it wasn't even a gun. It was like a camera. They just couldn't see it from that high up. He's like, pick it up. Pick it up. I want to shoot
you. Well, I could see it was a camera. I looked at it carefully and I could see it was a camera and I didn't have a binoculars. I'm sure they had optics there they could have used. Mm-hmm. You know, to play devil's advocate, what the Soviets did was, you know, do what they're doing to Bradley Manning for people who complained about their bread rations. I would ask you what you think about the fact that Bradley Manning actually broke a law that was on the books, which was disclosing state secrets. Now, one thing I will say about it is the United States government has really increased the amount of things they stamp top secret on, to the point where they do it with things that are not top secret, just so they can protect in a thicket of laws, you know?
Well, Bradley Manning, his disclosures weren't even the top secret stuff. He didn't just take the whole hard drive and hand it over to Julian Assange. He spent hours calling it and picking the things that wouldn't hurt people, making sure there were no names in it so there wouldn't be blood on his hands as everybody screams about him.
And Snowden did the same thing.
Snowden did the same thing. Bradley Manning took stuff that was just regular classified. It wasn't top secret. It wasn't for, you know, for British eyes only or whatever. It was just basic stuff that's secret, but it's stuff that's embarrassing to the state. It's embarrassing to the state because it's stuff that the state shouldn't be doing. It's stuff that on its face people would look at and go, huh, and that's not right. That doesn't fit with the moral of the what the state says.
And that's what
doing.
The Snowden thing is, too. And what I was going to say, too, about amends is, you know, if governments, and again, we're not just complaining about the U.S. government, all of them do these horrible things. If governments worked the 12 steps, they would realize that making someone apologize is not an apology at all. But if governments worked the 12 steps, they'd all dissolve the next day because they'd be like, oh, right. Wait, every, you know, this is a system based on making reparation for harm and not doing the harm in the future. And all governments do by design is harm.
Harm people. And yeah, they might help some people, but whoever they're helping at the expense because they harmed somebody else. So if they give somebody money, they took that money from somebody else. So it is the zero-sum game. It is the opposite of YouTube figuring out a way to have everybody make money and viewers still get the content what they want, which is a win-win-win. You know, wealth can be created when you negotiate and figure out what works for everybody and there's no force involved. But when you forcibly take resources from one in order to give to others or in order to just suck up yourself or create weapons that will blow people to little bits, then it's a zero-sum game or even a negative-sum game.
And we like to look at things from both the moral aspect, which you just did, and also the does-it-work aspect. And governments are extremely inefficient at spending their stolen money. You know, I mean, any private industry who's worried about their bottom line is going to do better than any entity that feels they have unlimited money, you know?
Yeah. Case in point, the post office.
Yeah. You know,
public
so
schools.
So one thing I wanted to run by you that's related to all this is Snowden. I've actually heard people say they think Snowden is a false flag and that he's a government agent intentionally leaking all this stuff. And I was racking my – I didn't hear an explanation for it. It was like total tinfoil hat kook stuff that made no sense. But I was trying to think of if there was any reason the NSA might do that. And the only thing I came up with was maybe to suddenly ramp up the new normal. You know, there's a lot of a lot of times governments will do something horribly unethical or against their own constitution. Like a good example is the war on drugs. In the 70s, a lawyer tried to argue for a guy, the client who'd been busted for pot, of show me how this is constitutional. I say this is unconstitutional. And it would have been a precedent-setting case. And some judge basically, his answer was, we're doing it. It's been done for years. That's why it's legal. And they kind of do that. There's a mission creep or a justice creep or an injustice creep with laws.
Injustice creep.
And, you know, I think it's getting to the point, since all the all of us peasants and slaves can talk to each other now on the internet, and the governments of the world don't control all the media and can't control it, that they need to ramp up things. And if this were a false flag of Snowden, which I don't really think it is, but if it were, the only reason I could think of would be we need to do a massive document dump and say, look, we're spying on everybody, and see if there's riots in the streets. And they dumped it, and there's not riots in the streets. So now they can say, all right, where do we go from here in stealing and lying and cheating and spying?
Well, that's a better motive than I've heard so far. I think Naomi Wolf is a Snowden truther, and she spent
what's her excuse for it?
Almost similar. She had some actual things she called as proofs, like who is this guy? Why would he do this? Why would they let him get away with this? How's he a Ron Paul advocate? Like, they picked him specifically. How did he know where he was going? And basically stuff on how he did it, like the technical aspects. But then her motive she attributed was that the NSA wants you to know, the government wants you to know that they're spying on you.
To make people be good?
Keep you in line. Okay, to make people be good.
Yeah, I didn't take it there. I took it to maybe they want you to know so they can advance a lot quicker in what they're doing and get away with it.
Yours would be a little bit smarter than her implied motive. I don't really buy that Snowden is some kind of plant. I mean, it doesn't make sense to me. Why would the state screw it up so bad? You know, it doesn't make any sense to me. They wouldn't try to ground the plane of a South American president if it was. And we'll be back with more in just a little bit.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Howdy, I'm Ben Stone from the Bad Quaker podcast. I'll teach you the difference between the government and the state, why the government is nothing without the state, and how to dissolve the state while remaining peaceful and even calm. I knew the state was a losing proposition decades before that was cool. Check out the Bad Quaker podcast at badquaker.com. We have a forum, and it's got gardening tips. That's BADQUAKER.com.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
Fiends. That's us. Yeah. I'm Nima Vidati. We've got Michael W. Dean.
Uh-huh.
Thank you so much for sticking with us. Normally we do a tweak and review, but really we spent all our time on only two topics. One of them, you just heard everything we had to say on it. It was Bradley Manning's forced, tortured apology. And then we spent an hour and a half on Ron Paul's paywall. So all those are in your recent memory. I'm not going to reprise them. There's only two. So we're going to go ahead and
It wasn't really about Ron Paul's paywall. That was kind of a takeoff from us talking about why people should not use old media methodologies for new media.
Right. Or just...
I'm just tweaking in review here, man. So anyway, going on to what I was saying right before the break. Yeah, man. Google, things, people, Manning, Bradley, what you got? Here's what I was going to say was that I don't believe Naomi Wolf's explanation of that they think that if they leak this, that they're spying on everyone, that everyone will be good. Because I believe that people at high levels of government everywhere in every country, not the low level enforcers, but the high level people that make the, you know, top secret plans in the back room. Mm-hmm. I think that those people know by now that adding more laws doesn't make people good. I think they know it. I think they know from statistics. I think they know that everyone on death row who committed murder, it did not enter their mind when they were jumping to kill somebody, it didn't enter their mind, I might go to prison. People do what they're going to do, and no laws can stop them. Only, like, action can stop them on the spot, like somebody pulling out a gun and shooting someone who's trying to kill people.
Yeah.
The reason they want to add more laws is so they can control people more. So I don't buy Naomi Wolf's thing. I think it was a thing of wanting to control people, but I think it was, we need to dump all this, get everyone suddenly used to it, so we can up it, if it was a false flag, which I don't think it was. So moving on to
that's the old are they just stupid or are they evil argument, and you're saying you think they're evil.
The top level ones are evil and brilliant, the low
and
level
the middle
enforcers.
Management guys are, and the enforcers are just fools.
Yeah, the middle management guys, you know, like Hank on Breaking Bad, he's not stupid, he's got a slightly like two points above average IQ, and he's really crafty. But, you know, he's running a DEA office somewhere. He's not the cop on the beat. And we know there's a fact that they are not letting cops with high IQs, people with high IQs become cops in some cities.
Right, right. So where do they recruit outside for leadership then, or what? I mean, are they pulling in old army officers? What is a locale like that going to do? Are they going to promote the guys that they hired intentionally with 80 IQs to run the thing, or
no,
what?
A lot of what they're doing for the really thuggish cops on the street now in a lot of cities is they're hiring people who just came back from shooting people in the Middle East. They don't
The beat cops, but what are they going to do for the guy who runs the whole station? What are they going to do for police chiefs?
Clone them in the basement.
Yeah, they're going to have Harvard grads do it now. Harvard grads will be police chiefs instead of Simpsons writers.
What they're probably doing is still promoting the guys that aren't that smart, but having people telling them what to do, who are often, like with computer crimes, with computer crime units, they often bust hackers and say, you can go to prison the rest of your life, or you can come work for us and have lots of cool toys and health insurance and a good salary. Mm-hmm. You know, they have advisors. They have people like Cass Sunstein writing papers, you know, brilliant evil geniuses like Cass Sunstein writing papers that trickle down through layers of bureaucracy to tell people what to do.
So if your local police chief is too stupid to ask questions, or doesn't have the inclination to question authority that comes with higher intelligence, he's going to be more pliable for the Department of Homeland Security, more pliable for the militarization of police, and not only the equipment being militarized, but also the chain of command being top down from the feds.
He's just going to, you know, what he's going to do for instead of thinking is he's going to believe that, you know, four-page thing that the Southern Poverty Law Center writes and gives to the Department of Homeland Security, that they give to the Department of Justice, that they email to all the cops and say, you must read this, that says people who vote for Ron Paul are potential terrorists. Search their car, find a way to walk by them with a drug dog. And the drug dogs are a lot of them are trained to just go off no matter what, whether there's drugs or not. And anybody who thinks, well, I don't do drugs, I'm not afraid of a drug dog, you should be, because the drug dog, they can just make it bark no matter what and take your stuff and find a way and say, oh, you have $10,000 in cash, man. This must be drug money. We're taking it.
Yep. So the answer to the question, are they just stupid or are they evil? I guess where we're landing at now is it's both. Some of them are just evil and they use the ones that are stupid to be their minions.
Yeah, minions. It's a square.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com.
All right, it was a trick. It was a trick. Uh-huh. It's kind of, but it's not at all.
Who is it?
It's, but it's not, as in
he likes them ironically.
Like, he would like eat all of their babies.